my mind. And where Paul says, train yourself to be godly, that's what I want to start off and talk about for a moment. When he says train here, he uses a word that we translate in English for gymnasium, and he has the idea of spiritual discipline. And what he says is, as valuable as physical discipline or physical fitness is, spiritual fitness is that much more important. And he talks about the importance of training yourself to become godly. And godly is a good general description of the kind of life God has called you to. If you say, I follow Jesus, God's plan for you is to live a God-centered life. And with that comes the abundance of life that Jesus promised. You see, when we make Christ first in every area of our life, then we are defined as godly. One thing that's important for us to notice here is that sort of behavior won't appear. You won't be godly without determined purpose and effort. It doesn't just show up one day, right? He says, that's why he says to Paul, Paul says to Timothy rather, train yourself, be intentional to be godly. What did I say last week? We become what we are committed to. And that's the picture here this morning. Committing yourselves to the right things so that we can grow intentionally into the people that God has in mind for each of us to become. Now, I told you last week that as a church, we have a 5C strategy to help each of us know what that growth is to look like. And all five of those C's are important. So we need to resist the urge to pick the ones we prefer and ignore the ones we're uncomfortable with or don't like. And so in quick review, the 5 C's are 5 commitments. A commitment to celebrate means weekly worship. We make a priority out of coming together with God's people to sing, to pray, to seek the Lord, to hear His word, and apply it to our lives. So that's number one. The second one is connect. That's a commitment to Christ-centered relationships. We all have relationships in our lives, but very few of them are centered out of a common commitment to please and follow the Lord. So we want Christ-centered relationships. Third is cultivate. That's a commitment to a daily walk with Jesus, to read the word and pray and seek the Lord each and every day. The fourth C is contribute, and that is discerning how God has made you unique and the role He wants to play within the FaithBridge family. And the last C is care, and that is your place in God's work of reaching the people that God has put in your life who don't know Jesus Christ. So all five of those are important. And this 5C strategy kind of gives you a way to evaluate your own progress. How are you doing, right? If you say, listen, I don't feel like I'm growing as I ought to be. I feel like I've kind of, run out of gas, or I'm kind of sputtering along. You look at those and say, okay, where am I doing well or where am I weak? In my own life, I've been to see the doctor not too many months ago, and I got some startling news. You see, when I was younger, I would run so that I could eat whatever I wanted. Well, what I heard from the doctor was very unpleasant. He said, you're getting older now. That's a nice way to start it. And he says, now, not only do you have to exercise, because I don't have a problem being disciplined about getting into the gym, my problem is pushing away from seconds, right? Or too big of firsts, as the case may be. And he said, listen, you're going to not only have to be in the gym, you're going to, have some portion control here. That was terrible news. I couldn't, But the point is, I am not where I want to be physically, so it's time to step back and say, all right, what do I need to change and do differently to get where I want? And that's what I'm challenging you to do with the 5 C's in your own spiritual growth. Are you where you want to be? Are you growing? Do you feel like, man, I'm maturing, I'm becoming who God wants me to be? And if not, what's missing? What is it in there that is holding you up? Now, I told you last week that I think contribute is our overall weakness as a church. And there's a variety of weakness or reasons I feel that way. I think in some ways I look at people in our church that I love who have yet to find their place of service, so their growth is distorted or kind of crippled growth because there's an important component that the God has in mind that's not being used by you. And so your growth is not as healthy and mature as God would intend. I think another reason I believe that contribute is our weak area of the five collectively is we have too many that we're doing without your unique contributions. We are a very diverse church, a lot of people with different backgrounds and passions and abilities, and many of those are not used here. And it's kind of, I think, like there's a big family get-together, and in my mind's eye, I imagine a family where a lot of people are musical, and each one brings their own song or instrument, and when they all gather, it's really rich and beautiful when they're together. Now, if you don't have that, maybe you just watch a lot of football at your family gatherings. I don't know. But the point is, when we come together and everyone uses their gifts and abilities, we're all the better for it. But in some ways, I look around, I see some gaps. And I know that we have the people with those abilities and passions, but they're just not being employed. And then finally, I think it overall, it diminishes what we can do in making disciples. And we'll talk about that some more later. But there's a variety of reasons that I look at our church and think, this is an area that if we can bolster here, we can strengthen here, not only is it good for each one of us individually, it'll be much better for us as a church as we lean and look towards the future. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. In last week's View, by the way, the View is a weekly article that I write. If you don't receive that in email, you can take out the white card in your bulletin called the connection card, put your name and say, send me the View, and you'll start getting that this week as long as we have your email address. Last week, I wrote about sacerdotalism. Sacerdotalism is priestcraft, and it really comes from Roman Catholic theology. It's the idea that we need a human intermediary between us and the Lord. And while many of us would say, I don't believe that, we still think that way. We still practice our faith as if we're dependent on others to do things that we can't do, we're not called to do, we're not equipped to do, and so we let a pastor or even a connection group leader play a role on our behalf. But when we do that, we give away a big part of the Christian life. You see, I know that my calling is a sacred one, but it's no more sacred than your calling, it's just different. Right? As believers, we all have a call to ministry, to minister. My calling is to help you do that better by applying the word correctly and by training and by prayer. And yours is to rise up and find your place of service. And I think as a church, we still have a lot of folks still have a mentality of, man, we're here to fund and celebrate the professional Christians to go do the work. Right? As opposed to saying, hey, we all have that calling in our life. Secondly, I think like any church in North America today, we're kind of infected with a consumerism that says, you know, hey, if it's attractive, if the preacher's funny and he doesn't talk too much or too long, you know, or if there's the programs I like or there's staff people that I enjoy, then I'm here. And if not, then, you know, we're going to start kind of looking around. There's that kind of, you know, what's in it for me sort of mentality that kind of unfortunately pervades even Christian culture. And I think that keeps some people at a distance. I don't want to jump in and invest myself because I'm not sure I'll be here long, right? So whether it's priestcraft or it's more of a consumer mentality, I think a lot of people are, you know, you're overcommitted already. And so when I get up and start talking about using your gifts here, some of you are dying inside thinking, man, I don't know how I can add one more thing. But if your goal, if your commitment is to godliness, then maybe you need to regroup and say, okay, there's some things I need to get rid of because if I'm too busy to do what God called me to do, boy, I am certainly too busy, right? And then lastly, I think as a church, we have had a very limited sort of way, limited offerings for people to use their gifts in ministry service. And again, I'll mention that more in just a moment. So this summer, we're going to talk about what's your deal. I'm not going to preach on it anymore after today, but I'm going to talk to you about it pretty regularly throughout the summer, encouraging you to discover what is your deal, what is your passion, what's the thing that the Lord has uniquely wired you for and called you to. Because when you find that and engage that, we'll all be the better for it. Now, this is not simply a recruiting tool to staff our ministries. We're a church, so there's always room for more. There's always vacancies. But that's not really my driving motivation. My driving motivation is for you personally to grow in maturity in Christ. I want you. There's many of you, I know you, and I see what could be if you will stay on track and get serious about your walk with Jesus. And that's what I want for you, to grow to full maturity. And I see, and I'm going to pick up what I talked about last week, this morning, and explain more completely why that is. Now, last week, we talked about the seven reasons. I introduced the first three of those seven. Seven reasons why you need to figure out what your deal is. Figure out what it is that God has called you to. The first reason is that God has called each of us to be a minister of the gospel. He has a calling on you. You may say, I'm not a minister of the gospel. I'm an engineer. I'm a police officer. I'm a homemaker. No, your calling is as a minister of the gospel. Secondly, God is glorified. People turn and get a right perspective on God when you fulfill your ministry. Third, God has uniquely designed you to be a minister of the gospel. So using the gifts and abilities you have in any other way is going to leave you kind of, you know, wondering what else there might be in life. Okay? So that's what we looked at last week. This morning, I want to pick up with number four. And the fourth reason that you need to figure out what your deal is simply that you will be fulfilled when you embrace your call to ministry. So God's made you, and when you find that and you do that, there is a sense of gratification that comes that you're not going to get in any other way. I read recently about the commencement speech at MIT that was brought by Drew Houston. Drew Houston was the man who founded Dropbox, which is a software program that you may be familiar with. And here's what he said to those graduates. He said, when I think about it, the happiest and most successful people I know don't just love what they do. They're obsessed with solving an important problem, something that matters to them. And he went on. He said, they remind me of a dog chasing a tennis ball. Their eyes go a little crazy, the leash snaps, and they go bounding off, plowing through whatever gets in the way. So it's not about pushing yourself. It's about finding your tennis ball, the thing that pulls you. So what's your tennis ball? That's what we're talking about this summer. That is the heart of what's your deal, helping you find your tennis ball, the thing that keeps you up late, that you will give more of yourself than anyone could ever ask you to do because God is the one that called you, not somebody talked you into a ministry role. Okay? So that's the heart of what we want to do because I believe you personally, we all collectively have a level of satisfaction that comes when we find that calling in our life. In Colossians 1, Paul says this, and he's really describing a godly life. He's describing an abundant life. And so listen carefully to what he says. He says, so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now listen to that. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with God's kind of power to persevere through hard times. That is a beautiful picture of the kind of life that God has in mind for you. Now, when I think about fulfillment and ministry, there are different people that jump to my mind. But one of those is someone that you may know, or you may know who she is by sight but didn't know her name, and her name is Margie Wolfe. And Margie Wolfe has a ministry in our church that she was doing before I ever arrived here. What Margie does every Sunday is she works in our bookstore over here, and she takes the sermon messages and she makes copies of those on CDs. And then on Monday, she uploads the sermon onto our website, and it really has helped. We have a lot of our folks have come through Faith Bridge in these last few years that have been in the military, and now they're living often in a more remote place. Some are in Bahrain and Germany and Japan, and different ones have said, hey, listen, we get on Monday nights and download the sermon notes and listen to the message on a pretty consistent basis. Others of you maybe have swung by and you have picked up a CD because you missed the morning message because you were working in Pier, or you missed last Sunday, or you have a friend or family member that you want to hear a message that was preached. And that's all a fruit of her work. And she just does it quietly, week in, week out, and she loves it. I've asked her before, Margie, do you need a break? Do I need to find somebody to take your job? Oh, no. She loves doing it. And so here's what I need you to do for me this morning. When church is over, as you walk by the bookstore, stick your head in and say, hey, Margie, thank you, right? It'll scare her to death. It'll be great, right? How all these people suddenly knew her name. But that's an example of somebody who has a sense of calling and fulfillment that comes because this is what God called her to do, and she loves doing it, and it really enriches who we are as a body as a result. That's a beautiful picture of what I would like to see happen many times over in our fellowship. Okay? Now, so the first reason that I want to challenge you to find your place in ministry is the level of personal fulfillment and satisfaction that comes when you do so. The second reason is you personally will be blessed by your ministry to other people. In other words, so you're a blessing, you're fulfilled, but you're blessed yourself as well. And here's what I mean by that. As a young adult, I had goals for myself. I had a career path that I was studying and preparing for and spent a lot of time and invested a lot because I really wanted to go to medical school. And right towards the end of my bachelor's degree, I felt called into ministry. And it was quite a challenge for me at that point in my life. And I followed what I felt like God had called me, and that was away from medicine into ministry. And, you know, at different discouraging times over the years, I would have to confess to you, I've looked back over my shoulder and thought, man, what a knucklehead I was. I should have gone left, and I went right. Wow, this is lousy. I'm hating this, right? In a weak moment. But as I look back over the last 25 years, I really would tell you with great confidence, I am a different person because of following that calling than I believe I would have been had I stayed on my own track of what I wanted to do. And you know, the consequences of our choices in life are enormous. And when it comes to God calling you into ministry, and he says, listen, I've made you for something, and I want you to play this role. And when we say, no, thank you, I'm too busy, I'm afraid, whatever, and we opt out, there's a price to be paid. Listen, any ministry that you serve in is going to cost you, right? As one person said, if it doesn't cost anything, it doesn't matter, right? It's going to cost. But when you know the Lord is the one that has called you, we're willing to pay the price. And we personally grow and are blessed as a result of following that call. So I want to encourage you this morning, you will be blessed when you rise up and find that calling and address it and embrace it. Now, in the book of Philemon, I would imagine you've not read that book of the Bible recently. Philemon is a very short little book, and it's Paul writing to a Christian man named Philemon who had a slave named Onesimus who had run away, and Onesimus was a believer. And it's strange to us to read this, and the first question I always have when I read Philemon is, why in the world doesn't Paul tell him, you shouldn't have slaves, you fool? Why don't you turn him loose? But he doesn't say those things. He's telling Philemon that he ought to receive him back as a brother in the Lord. In other words, he's still going to be your slave, but you need to forgive him and not exact the punishment that apparently Onesimus, he would have been right to have inflicted upon him. And what he's saying to him is, I want you to practice your faith. I want you to do what you have said you believe towards this guy. Now, in that conversation, Philemon 1 verse 6 says this. He says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Let me explain what is going on here. At face value, we could read that where he says, I pray that the sharing of your faith might be effective. We use the language share your faith to describe one Christian telling someone who's not a Christian about Jesus. Right? We call that sharing your faith. I do not believe that is specifically what Paul is talking about here. I believe he is talking about Philemon. I want you to live out your calling as a Christ follower. And that's in this situation, it's specifically related to Onesimus. Now, what does that mean for us? The focus here is upon Philemon following God's call, doing what a Christian did specifically in this situation. Now, last week we looked at Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. And in those verses, the scripture says that God gifted each of us differently. By the Spirit of God, he gives every Christian unique gifts and abilities. And he specifically said those who are pastors and teachers, their job, their equipping is to equip the body, everyone else, for works of ministry. All right? And he says as each part of the body takes their place in ministry, something wonderful is going to rise up and happen. We're all going to grow, and we're going to look at that passage in just a moment. And that is a parallel passage to what Paul is saying to Philemon. He's saying, as you do what you've been called to do, you will have a level of understanding of all the good that God has in mind, of all the good that God is, and he has in mind that you wouldn't have received if you have just sat in a classroom and taken careful notes. Right? What do we think when we think learn? We think a teacher at the front of the chalkboard and a class taking notes. And we call that learning. There's a whole other level of learning here that Paul is saying we only grow in our knowledge. And the word he uses for knowledge describes both intellectual knowledge but also experiential knowledge. We only grow that way when we do what God's called us to do. So there's a whole aspect of who God is and what he's about and what he wants from us that we only will learn when we rise up and find our place in ministry and do it. You can go to connection group and Bible study till the cows come home. But if you don't find your place in ministry, there's going to be a big black hole in your understanding that's going to be missing. Right? He's got a calling on every believer to roll up their sleeves and find their place and serve. And in the doing, there's a level of experiential understanding that comes. We're blessed, is my point. We're blessed when we find and engage our place of ministry within the body. Therefore, what's your deal is a whole lot more than accepting a role in ministry. right? It's bigger than that. I want it to be bigger than that for you. I know that we need to staff different ministries to be ready for the fall, but that's not my driving agenda. My driving agenda is for you to pray and you to engage the process I'm going to roll out in a moment and hear from heaven and find your place so that you grow as a believer and you better understand who God is and what he wants from you. So our first reason this morning is there is a sense of personal satisfaction that you're not going to get anywhere else, that you only find when you discover how God has wired you and he's called you and you begin to do it. The second thing is you're blessed. You begin to grow and enjoy the benefits of following in obedience and being and doing what God's called you to do. The third reason for this morning that I want to look at here is the idea that our church family will be blessed as you fulfill your ministry. So we like to think in silos, like I am who I am, and everybody else can do whatever they want. Well, that's not the way the Scripture is written. The Scripture is written to the church, right? And we have a place within the church, and so our choices affect one another, right? And so to illustrate this, I want us to watch a brief clip from a Martin Scorsese film from 2 or 3 years ago called Hugo. It's different from most of the movies that he has made. It was a children's movie, and it tells the story of an orphan boy who is secretly living in a train station in Paris in the 1930s. And unbeknownst to everyone, he is continuing his father's work. He was very close to his dad, but his dad died tragically in a fire. And his dad's job had been to maintain all the massive clocks that were all through this train station. So this little orphan boy who is fighting for survival, scrounging for food, is the one who continues to maintain the clocks after his dad has passed away. And one of the things that he does is he keeps stealing parts from a little toy store because he's trying to finish a project that he and his father had been working on, which was this mechanical man. And in the clip we're going to see, we see Hugo, the little boy, talking to another little girl who's an orphan that he found in the train station, has invited her in, and they're talking about the head librarian of Paris, a man named Mansour Labis. And of him, Hugo says, he has real purpose. I want to turn your attention to the video screen and watch with me. Machines never come with extra parts, you know. Isn't that a great line? All right? And so to borrow his word picture, we're like a machine that the Lord has created. And Paul uses this same sort of language. He doesn't say we're a machine. He says we're a body. But look in your sermon notes. In Ephesians 4, he says it this way. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What a beautiful picture of God working through a body of believers. At the beginning, he says, as a result. And this goes back to those verses in verses 11 and 12, where he says, as a result of pastors playing their role and equipping the body and the church family rises up to be ministers of the gospel, as a result of that, he says, we're no longer children. And he talks about children being tossed and carried, being easily deceived by hucksters and people that are telling half the truth and manipulating God's people. He says, listen, that's a spiritual condition that we all begin in. When you become a follower of Jesus, you're like a child. But he says, as the body functions appropriately and all of the machine parts play a role, there's no extra parts, everyone's doing their role, then together we grow up. And he says, as we mature, he describes, we speak the truth in love, we grow into all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So the character of Jesus, that's our measure of maturity. The words of Jesus are our way of helping each other mature as we interact. And then that mutual service is an expression of our growth in Christ. So as we serve, it helps us mature and it shows that we are maturing. So it's kind of this loop that happens. And he talks about this whole body is fitted and held together. And each part works according to the Lord's strength. So this is a picture here of how our choices individually are bigger than us. And my decision and your decision to say, God, how have you made me? How do you want me to serve? It's going to affect the people sitting around you. They might be people that you don't even know their name. But God's plan for you is to discern your place and to rise up and take it, and we'll all be the better for it, and we will come to grow in Christ and really become the family that God had in mind all along. And see, none of us can grow as intended until we're serving as God intended. And so this commitment to minister is a commitment to love your church family. It's not just about you anymore. And so the sixth reason here is that when you find your place of ministry, your service blesses the people that are seated right around you. Now, the last reason that I would say that we all need to find our place of service is that not only is the church blessed, the church then is better able to fulfill Jesus' commission to make disciples as each of us finds our place of ministry. Now, on a simple level, this is kind of like our mission trips. This summer we're taking two trips, and then the fall a third. But the two summer trips, we're going to Nicaragua in just under 2 weeks. Some of us will be there, and then about a month from now, there'll be a group leaving for Haiti. In both of those places, we're doing different things. We'll do medical clinics, and we'll be handing out food in impoverished neighborhoods. We'll be teaching some training seminars in the churches. But one part that we will do in both places is we will have a crusade. We'll have a large service, and our ability to make an impact is directly related to how many people we take. We're taking more people to Nicaragua, and therefore we have more North Americans able to directly engage the Nicaraguans than the size of the group we're taking to Haiti. Now, part of what happens, folks, is we go to remote areas, and it's not that we're anything, it's just that the circus is in town. I mean, why are all these North Americans here, and why do they come to our little town? And so everyone turns out, and the more of us that we have, the more impact we can make while we're there. So a smaller team makes a smaller impact, a bigger team makes a bigger impact. And that's the truth for our church. The more people that are engaged in ministry, the bigger impact we can make. There's a very simple understanding, but there's also a more complex understanding. I'm wired differently than some of you. Some of you never meet a stranger, right? And that is an important role in the body of Christ. To be that person that is so hospitable and welcoming, we need those kind of people. We have other people that are more organized and maybe more quiet or reserved, but we need that organization in place as well. So all the things function as they should. We need people that are good with kids, and we need people that are gifted at teaching, and others that just enjoy quietly serving behind the scenes, whether it's making CDs or running sound and sending me stupid jokes, whatever the role is, right? We all have a role, and when everybody plays those roles, then together we're more effective in reaching, receiving, and then helping new people grow up in their faith. Okay, so our mission, not only are we personally blessed when you find your place of ministry, our mission is advanced when everybody gets involved. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 18. He said, I will build my church. But the means by which Jesus builds his church is by those who are already followers of Christ maturing and being the people that God's called them to be, so that he empowers and works through us. In Philippians 1, Paul is writing the church in Philippi, and in verse 4, he talks about their partnership in the gospel. And then in verse 27, he says this. He says, whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Listen, that's our reason for gathering. When we think about why do we come together and sing songs and pay a heating and cooling bill and turn on the lights, and why do we love, and why do we serve, and why do we sing, and why do we give, and why do we go? All of that is because we have a commission to make disciples, right? And that commission is better fulfilled when everybody figures out what's your deal. So here's our seven reasons again in quick review. God's called you to be a minister. God's glorified when you fulfill that calling to be a minister. God has uniquely designed you to be a minister. You will be fulfilled when you embrace your call to ministry. You will be blessed by your ministry to others. Your church family will be blessed by your ministry, and your church family will be better able to fulfill Jesus' commission as we make disciples together. So, what's your deal? We're going to talk about this. I'm going to be, you know, encouraging you all through the summer to figure out what's your deal. Okay, and let me just go ahead and think ahead a little bit. Here's what a success will look like for us as a church. We get to the end of July, the last Sunday in July. I'm going to pass out the little name tags that you see there. Hello, my name is, and then with another blank, my ministry is. And I'm hopeful that on that day, on July 27th, that there will be many people that are able to fill out their name tag, not because somebody talked you into something, but because you've prayed and you've sought the Lord and you are serving right where God called you. That would be one way that we would determine a win, right? That we have a whole lot of people that can fill out that name tag and know that I'm doing what God called me to do. Praise the Lord. That's huge, right? Secondly, I would hope that we would have more people that step up and are involved in ministry service than we have had, okay? I look around here and I see some adult connection group leaders. Some of our connection groups have class leaders and some don't. I see Bill Crosby back here. Bill, it'd be wonderful by the end of the summer where that Bill Crosby is not the only person treating his class as their primary ministry. Maybe there'd be some men that would rise up and say, I'll take prayer, I'll take outreach, I'll take, you know, whatever. And that'd be true in all of our classes. My hope is not only that we have people that are called, but we have more people involved in ministry, and we have new people involved in ministry. There are many of you who have enjoyed and you've benefited, and now it's time to find your place. Right? You have received, and now I want to encourage you for your own good, for the good of all of us, rise up and find your place and serve. And then finally, I would hope that another way we would measure success on July 27th is that we would have some new roles created. In other words, you may look at the standard list and go, man, my gifts and abilities, the things I love and I'm excited about, I don't see it on there. And I hope that we will be able to help you find a place of service that fits what you feel like God has called you to do. Okay, so again, people following God's call, more people following God's call, new people following God's call, and new roles that are created as a result of people stepping up. Now, on our website, if you go to our homepage, you're going to see this slide right here. If you click on that, it'll send you to a little one-page description of this summer-long emphasis, but in there you'll see another link to what we call the Serve Center. And Andrew McCallum is our worship leader. He worked really hard on putting this together for us. The Serve Center is intended to be an online tool to equip you to work through a process to help figure out what God wants from you. And the first thing you need to do is pray, right? We just need to say, Lord, I know you've made me. I know you don't want to waste any of the experiences I've been through in my past. How do you want me to serve? Okay, and then engage the process that you'll find on the website. And you'll see a little video of myself, and I do a quick wrap-up of last week's sermon as well as today's to kind of a quick overview. And then the second stage is to look at the long list of ministry opportunities. And then, the first phase is the video of me, and then there's links for you to fill out a spiritual gifts inventory as well as a personality profile. The second one is a list of all the ministry opportunities. The third one is a serve form. And that's where each one of you, I hope, will take time and fill that out, and you'll include the results of your spiritual gift inventory, two or three areas of ministry that you notice that you might be interested in. And then when you hit send, that's going to go to one of our staff members. Now, some of you, you may pray and say, listen, I've been teaching Awana for 2 years, and I really believe that's right where I'm supposed to be, and so I'm re-upping. I'm committing to, man, I've prayed, and I think I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Others may say, hey, I'm new at all this, I'm still trying to figure it out, or I've been in one role, but I feel like that time has come to an end, and I'm looking for whatever God has next for me. And what will happen is one of our staff is going to call you, and say, we got your serve form. I want to talk to you and pray with you and kind of coach you up and help you find your place of ministry. So my hope is that by the end of July, we all have worked that process. You've gotten on the serve center. You filled out the serve form and submitted it. We've gotten with you and prayed, and you found a place of ministry and are underway and being trained for whatever that role might look like. That's what I hope this summer will look like for us. So each week, you're going to see this slide. And somebody's going to get up here and say, have you gone to the serve center yet? Have you worked out and filled out all of that? And where are you in the process? Okay? Now, what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to end our time with prayer. And as I mentioned to you from the beginning, this is more of an organizational sermon. Often the message are about your own faith and your own walk with the Lord. This is a pivotal part, the doing of the ministry. And so I want to pray for you. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm gonna pray that God would lead you clearly so that by the time we get to the end of July, we can have a time of great celebration because many, many of you have found a place that God's called you to and are excited to serve in that manner. Father, I do pray, Lord, that as a church we would rise up together and we would accept the call to ministry that you say was written before the world was created. As we read that passage last week, that you preordained good works for each of us to do. Things that you have in mind that you uniquely gifted us for, that some of the heartache and pain in our life you want to use to take advantage of those things, Lord, to further your calling, enable and empower it. And God, we just pray, I pray that as a church that we would each take the time to pray and clear our schedule of commitments to make time for the most important things so that our growth in Christ is a first priority for each of us. I pray, Lord, as a church that we would be richer, we would be more effective, we would be a place of greater joy because more and more rise up and take their place of ministry service. Lord, please bless us in this way. We love you, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward. This